Welcome to the Sean Stevenson Show. I'm Sean Stevenson, your host and professional speaking guide. You have a message to share, and I can teach you how to get it to millions. The Sean Stevenson Show, the best resource for building a lucrative speaking business and a fulfilling life. Enjoy the show. Behind closed doors, I'm obsessed with making people laugh. I'm obsessed with what makes people laugh, and I'm obsessed with as laughing as often as I can. And I don't know if God blessed me with some kind of talent that allows me to make people laugh with ease, but as of late, the last couple of years, I kind of reverse engineered what makes people laugh. And I reverse-engineered why it's so important to me. You see, when I was growing up, I had to find ways to fit in and survive through school and make friends and break tension. And what I found is laughter was the quickest way to break tension, to deal with tough times, to help other people deal with their tough times. There's kind of like three things that human beings usually gravitate toward. Either they laugh, they cry, or they scream. They either choose to look for what's funny, what's sad, or what's upsetting them and angering them. And I just decided that laughter was a lot more fun. And when you're funny, people hang out with you, and they don't throw you out of the party. The funny person is the last person that you would ever want to throw out of the party. I've found that this isn't just a personal preference. It's actually hardwired into our biology. We laugh for a scientific reason. They've studied many animals and found that humans aren't the only ones that like to laugh or that actually laugh. Monkeys is an example. In this one study that I read for my doctorate degree, it said that monkeys, when they are being chased by a predator, and then one monkey gets caught and all the others scurry up to safety in the tree, the monkeys that are up in the tree and that are safe, they will laugh and oftentimes point at the monkey that's getting eaten down on the ground. And when I read that article or that study, I thought, God, monkeys are sick. Like, what the heck is wrong with a monkey? But the study went on to say that there's nothing wrong with monkeys. They're just holding on to all of this tension, holding on to all this pressure in the body that's coming from their survival instincts to get out of danger's way. And so when they finally get to safety, they need to release that energy. And they release it by opening their mouths and making a sound, ha ha. And that's my impression of a monkey. But when a monkey is actually laughing, they're just releasing the pressure and the noise inside of their body. And I believe that human beings are no different. You know, when you and I spend $20 to go to the movie to watch Jim Carrey fall down a flight of steps, we're just releasing tension. We're just feeling like, oh God, I'm out of harm's way. Now let me release this pressure that's built up inside of me. And through the years, I've noticed that when I made people laugh, they wanted to hang out with me. They wanted to date me. They wanted to do business with me. Laughter is so healing. When you actually laugh, you increase your T cell count, which improves your immune system, actually makes you healthier. When you laugh, you also release an anti-inflammatory into your body, which actually helps with swelling, pressure, and pain. When you laugh, you exercise over 200 muscle groups, so you're exercising your body. There's so many amazing side effects to laughing. It's built into our biology. Laughter really is the best medicine. So as I've developed my speaking career, I've really been interested in making audiences laugh. What can I say? What can I do? And there's so many things that I've studied and found in my exploration of humor. Now, I'm not going to be able to go into all of them in this podcast. I'm going to share a few, but I want to direct you to a website. Now, I'll bring the website up again at the end of this webinar, but this website is to an online course that I'm teaching called How to Be Funny on Stage and Video. You're going to want to go to seanstevenson.com/funny. That's Sean Stephenson, SEANSTEPHENSON.com/FUNNY. And that will take you to the order form for my course called How to Be Funny on Stage and Video. Now, depending on when you hear this, the live version still might be available for you to hop on and be able to interact with me in the Q&A. If you happen to catch this recording after the live version, you can get the recordings of that course. So, make sure to check out seanstevenson.com/funny. I am going to break down a lot of components to how to make people laugh in this course. I'm going to be talking about what are the elements of humor? What are all the things that make something funny? I'm going to be talking about how do you write funny material? Like, what goes into writing something that's funny? I'm going to be talking about how to use callbacks in your humor and your material in your videos. I'm going to be talking about the importance of nested loops. I'm going to be talking about how and why to use imaginary play. I'm going to be talking about, in this course, elements of physical comedy. How do you use your body? I'm going to talk about how to handle a tough crowd, hecklers and audiences that are falling asleep on you or rolling their eyes or maybe being a little aggressive. I'm going to talk about why are lists, like when speakers or comedians are making lists of things, why do they make people laugh? What is so funny about a list? I'm going to be talking about navigating the art of self-deprecation, how to use blunt honesty, how to use your face. Yes, your face is important at making people laugh. Why and when to model children from stage, their childlike behavior. What makes videos go viral, specifically around funny elements. How to use funny comparisons, why and how to use props, how to develop funny stage presence, how to be both serious and funny with a crowd and be able to go back and forth with them and have you be in full control, how to improvise in difficult moments, and I'm going to talk about the elements of how to tell a funny story. So those are all the elements to the course. You're going to want to check that out. Today, I want to go into a few details about comedy and making audiences laugh that you can immediately start using right away. When you start studying funny speakers and comedians, you'll start to pick things up by asking one question. As soon as they say something that makes the audience roar with laughter or giggle or even chuckle slightly, in your mind, especially if you have like a video of it on Netflix or YouTube, pause it and ask this one question. Why was that funny? What about that made the audience laugh? Now, not specifically the content of like they used a verb, an adjective, blah, blah, blah. But, like, what is it about what they said? At the end of this podcast, I'm going to place the audio from a recent comedy set that I did at the Comedy Spot in Scottsdale, Arizona. This 7-minute set took me months to put together, and days after days of practice for me to get spot on. So when you hear it, don't think I just went up there and improvised and wing it on the side. No, I actually did a lot of work to achieve the amount of laughter that I got. Now, I will say that I have a distinct advantage when I get on stage, because what causes people to laugh is tension. Remember, just like those monkeys? And when a little man in a wheelchair gets on stage, it builds up some tension. So I believe that I have an advantage. Now, whatever you look like, you want to figure out what is it about you that might build some tension. For some people, maybe it's their weight, maybe it's their height, their nose, their ears, maybe it's their background, whatever it is. If there's an element to your being that could build up tension, I want you to know that that's a good thing, that you can use it to your advantage by calling it out, acknowledging it. You will break the tension, which will come through the experience of laughter. Now, I'm not saying that you need to make fun of yourself if you're overweight and like, oh, here comes the fat guy. No, I'm saying that you can call it out, though, in a clever way. Now, I'm in a wheelchair, so I made a lot of handicap disability jokes, but what I did was I went back and forth between my reality as somebody in a wheelchair and related it to other people who were not in wheelchairs and their reality, how they treat me, how I see them, how we're alike, how we're different, and I would go back and forth. A lot of making people laugh is about taking them on a verbal dance, back and forth between scolding them at times, scolding yourself, praising them at times, praising yourself, showing that you are no different, showing that they are totally different than you. And that dance is amazing. I will say that in all this time that I've been studying and preparing to put together this online course, How to Be Funny on Stage and Video, it does take a little bit of the magic out of humor and comedy. When you know exactly all the little intricate details of humor, it kind of loses a little pizzazz. That's why sometimes you have to just learn it and then be willing to suspend all your knowledge and just enjoy. So I study a lot of funny speakers and comedians, and I study them with my notepad out. And what I like to do is I like to watch it first by taking no notes. Just absorb the comedian. Just absorb the speaker. Don't try to break into why are they funny? What did they say that made that funny? What could have they said that made it would have made it funnier? Just listen to it. Absorb it. See where I laugh. See how hard I laugh. Just enjoy the content and the flow. Then I'll watch it again. This time with the pen ready, and I will pause multiple times throughout the speech or comedic set, and I will ask the question, why did that make them laugh? Why is this audience erupting with laughter? What did they just do? So I'm going to put in at the end of this podcast my comedic set. It was a 7-minute set, and you'll hear a lot of the components that I'm sharing with you, and you'll hear a lot more come to life in my course. But one of the things that I want to prepare you for when you're listening to comedy is notice that about 80% of what makes people laugh is how the presenter carries themselves. Now, it doesn't always mean they have to be confident. In fact, there are some comedians and speakers that are hilarious by their acknowledgement of how confident they are not, by how shy or bashful or rude or awkward they are. But you have to put forward who you are to a crowd. And when you do that, you build some trust. Because the crowd knows that you're going to play games with them. the crowd knows that if you're wanting to make them laugh, then you're going to say things that maybe are being embellished or are not true at all, but would be funny if they were true. And sometimes it's good to have some ambiguity with the audience where they don't know if you're telling the truth or not. They don't know if you're a jerk or a nice guy. They don't know if you're the hero or the villain. And that is what makes people laugh. It's that confusion in the middle. A humorous speaker, or a speaker that's trying to add more humor into their speech, or a comedian, has to do the same dance with the audience. And that is break and build rapport. You build rapport when you are in alignment with somebody. When they feel like you get them, they get you, you are agreeing on things. They feel they can trust you. You break rapport when they feel attacked. You break rapport when you feel like you are pointing things out that might be embarrassing about them. And it's completely okay to break rapport if you are wanting to create humor, because you can get it back again immediately, especially if you're looking to do comedy. Comedy is about breaking and building rapport several times. You'll see it when you study comedians. Some comedians, they'll have some what we call softball jokes that, you know, are not offensive. They don't cause anybody to raise an eyebrow. They're maybe clever or witty. But then they'll throw at the audience something that I call groan-worthy, where people are like, "Ooh, yeah, that's mean," or "Ooh, that's pretty honest," or "That's a low blow stereotype." Whatever it might be, they will then cause the audience to feel that curveball come in versus the softball, which is in the building rapport. The curveball breaks rapport. And that groan-worthy moment, it's okay if you know how to recover and reestablish the rapport. Another element to making people laugh is you gotta know how to ride the laughter. Laughter is like an energetic vibrational wave. And you have to know that you can't ride it all the way out so that there's no more laughter left at all in the room. Because then you look like you're milking the crowd. Then you look like you are just trying to play off of their emotions. Now, that may be true, but nobody wants to feel played. That's why it's important. Go about 80% of everybody being done laughing. You still got about 20% of people laughing at it. Move on to the next thing. Move on to your next joke, story, bit, whatever it might be. If you're doing comedy or speaking, you need to think of your material as like vines that are hanging down in the jungle, and you're Tarzan, and you're swinging from one vine to the next, and you're not letting go of one until you've got a hold of the other, and that's your transition points. Whether you're doing speaking or comedy, you need good transitions, or it feels awkward and disjointed, and like there's a verbal turbulence that we're having to jump massive distances between topics. If you see really good speakers and really good comedians, what they'll do is they will come up with these little bridge stories, these little bridge ideas, where one minute they might be talking about being single. And from being single, they might talk about how ashamed they are that they've put on weight and that they can't get a date. And then from putting on the weight, they can talk about the food they're eating and they're embarrassed by the kind of food. Maybe they have a childlike appetite, right? And then from childlike appetite, they're talking about being a kid. From being a kid, they talk about what it was like being raised by their parents. When they start talking about their parents, they talk about marriage. When they talk about marriage, they say, "To death do us part," and then they talk about death. And then at death, they maybe talk about the afterlife. And then the afterlife, they might talk about religion. And then from religion, they might talk about war and people killing each other over whose God is right. And then from war, they might talk about the original statement of being single and how going after love is like going into a battlefield. And that's what we call the callback, when you return to the original bit, the original point, or some point within your bits. So, when you are building material, make sure that you have transitions that make sense. They only need to be a little bit clear of why you're going from one thing to the next to the next to the next. You don't want to be talking about a peanut butter jelly sandwich and the next thing talking about death unless you have some kind of bridge. Sometimes you'll see a very skilled comedian might pull it off by just jumping into the next thing and then kind of reference, I didn't have any transition there. And the audience laughs by how abrupt the transition was. Now, as I said, I'm putting together this course, How to Be Funny from Stage and Video, because there are so many elements that in this short little podcast, I couldn't go into them all, but in my course, I will. So you're going to want to check out SeanStevenson.com/funny. That's SeanStevenson.com/funny. You will get an in-depth, complete class on what are the elements of comedy and all the aspects I shared with you earlier. I really hope that you're able to see that making people laugh actually does have more than just natural talent attached to it. There is a science. There is some repeatable elements that you can learn. I know what you're thinking. I do. You're taking a long look at me. And you're thinking, how big is his parking spot? It's huge. It's like my parking spot is way bigger than any guy's here. I can promise you that. But anyway, I know you all want my parking spot. I do. I see you out in the parking lots. You're just looking at it like, damn, I wish I had a limp. You're looking, and I can see you just want to back your shit right into my spot. I can tell. I can always spot who likes the DP. The disabled parking, all right? So tonight I'm gonna do more than make you laugh. I'm gonna educate you, all right? So I'm gonna teach you how to treat my people, okay? Because my people do not get heard enough. White people, so. Now I'm gonna give you a little lesson on how to handle the disabled. In fact, I'm gonna teach you what not to do. There's a lot of things you're doing wrong. First of all, don't ever do this. People come up to me on a regular basis and they say, oh, Sean, my grandmother's also in a wheelchair. No way. My cousin's also an idiot. And there's this other thing you guys do. You feel compelled, and you all think you're so original. You feel compelled when you're wheeling people in wheelchairs to make car noises. We're backing up now, Sean. Beep, 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 beep. Does your grandmother like that? Shut up! And don't, if you don't know me, don't say I'm inspiring. No, don't just give it to me because, oh, he's inspiring. Okay, there's one time you can say I'm inspiring. If I'm robbing a bank, that would be inspiring, right? And you just imagine I'm like rolling in quietly. You're like, oh, the nice little disabled man. And I'm like, give me your money! On the ground! That kid's got moxie. I like it. People are like, can I help you with the door, sir? I got like bags on wheeling out. That shit would be inspiring. But let me tell you, there's another thing I want you all to stop doing, okay? When you're out in crowds
And you got disabled people around you, you don't even know what you're about to do. Many of you are into the crop dusting. For those of you polite people that don't crop dust, that's when you puff and run. I'm moving forward, it's staying behind me. To choke people in wheelchairs. Do you realize how many of your fart clouds I have been trapped in? There is nothing worse than already having a disability. You can't use your legs, and now you can't use your nose. Right? And it's like you just get trapped in. Your eyes are burning. Nobody wants to get caught in after-dinner smog. Nobody. That's disgusting. Clean it up out there, all right? So, you know, I'm usually on the receiving end of the fart cloud, but there was this one time. There was this one time where I was on the giving end. Okay? I was at our friend's house. My wife and I were about to engage in the coitus, right? I was down on the ground, out of my wheelchair, on the floor, butt naked, and I started to feel a little bit of a rumble in my belly, right? I could feel a pressure front heading south. And I think all the people in here that do yoga, raise your hand if you do yoga, right? So this is what they call, like, wind releasing, right? Wind releasing. So I'm like, well, the yogis, they're smart, you know, I'm just gonna release the wind, right? And as I sent this pressure front down and this gentle breeze, it caused a cascading effect of a mudslide. So you're familiar with the shark, yes? I'm on the floor, and I felt like one of those vehicles that lays down asphalt behind me. Well, it was definitely my asphalt, okay? And so I'm now sitting here. I feel like the captain of the Exxon Valdez, right? I'm just like sitting in an oil spill. And I'm like, shame was building up inside of me, right? You know when you're sharting, you're like sitting in that toxic fruit robe-up and you're just like, what happened to my life? I went to college. Why did I do this without pants on, right? And so I'm sitting there on the floor, and thank God I married the woman that I did. Because my wife, she is such an angel. She comes in, she looks at the whole thing, and she's like, babe, it's okay. It's okay, I'm gonna go get some stain remover. Nobody has to know. That's probably who I should have married. Let me tell you what my wife did. My wife, and I love this one because of this spirit, she just comes out, she looks at me on the floor and goes, oh, Sean, gross! She proceeds to open the door, yell down the hall to our roommates, hey, Patty! Sean shit on the carpet! That was 5 years ago. Every time I go over to that house, if there's ever a group of people, guess what story comes up? Right? So let's all remember this mantra tonight. Never be proud of your fart cloud, okay? I'm telling you, it has been absolutely fun to be with you here tonight. I hope you have a wonderful night. Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure and subscribe to The Sean Stevenson Show on iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. For more information and further conversation, head on over to our Facebook group, Lucrative Speaker. I'm Sean Stevenson, your professional speaking guide. I'll catch you next time on The Sean Stevenson Show. You've got a message, let's get it to millions.